Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 105. All right, big news, San Diego Comic-Con, July 23rd, 8 p.m., 4th and B. Our first guests have been announced. Matt Smith and Karen Gillan, yes, the Doctor himself, and the Companion, will be guests on the Nerdist Podcast live. We're going to have some other surprise guests, too, so make sure you get your tickets right away because they will go away quickly. You can get info for that at Nerdist.com. Also, if you listen to podcasts with your ears, which I'm assuming you do, and you need new earbuds, Nerdist Podcast listeners get $10 off earbuds when they go to tweakedaudio.com/Nerdist. And like us on the Facebook, facebook.com/Nerdist. I hate telling people to like me. I mean, in general, I feel like that's what we all do with most of our actions, but to just come out and say it, it's weird. What about a hug button? Can we get a friggin' hug button? Hug me on Facebook. Doesn't that sound better? I feel like that sounds better. Anyway, that's not how that paradigm works. So this podcast was recorded at C2E2. It's a big comic and entertainment expo in Chicago a few months ago. It was sort of a dollhouse panel, but it was Eliza Dushku and Tom O'Pennicott, and we talked about a ton of stuff, and they were both phenomenal. Awesome people, super cool, really nice to the fans, really funny, and so I hope you enjoyed this panel. I've been holding on to it for a little while, just because we've had a bunch of other time-sensitive ones that have gone up first, and so I am thrilled that we are able to finally post this, the Nerdist Podcast number 105, Eliza Dushku and Tom O'Pennicott, and me, hashtag hooray pants.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
This Look at is how awesome. Many people there are. Wow, this is great.
This is like putting Comic-Con to shame.
Nice. Have you done Comic-Con before?
I have. Not to dog Comic-Con, all right. That's going to be what everybody hears. I have, but it's been... When did we go?
It'd almost be 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did 3 years ago. We did it right after we did the original pilot. Yep. Was anybody there?
Woo! Like three people.
Four people.
Ew!
From Chicago. I don't go to San Diego.
Yeah, right.
So you guys were on a little program called Dollhouse.
Right on. That's right.
I love the kind of sports enthusiasm from the guy in the front row. It's like it's angry Chicago, and throwing
those
the
Those are our
up.
Peeps, dude. You don't even get it.
Oh, no, I do. I live among the nerds. I know how it works. So, Eliza, you actually developed the show with Joss, right? So could you just...
I did. We did.
Tell a little bit of the story about how that came about. How, you know, did you approach Joss? What happened?
Well, we had worked together on another little show called Buffy.
Yes.
The Vampire Slayer. Yeah. Few people. And we had done that. God, I had just graduated high school. I was 17 and I moved out to LA to do a few episodes of Buffy, and we became kind of BFFs. And we had such a great time on that show, and the character of Faith. Sorry, I had to.
No, no, you have to. Yeah, yeah, you have
was
to.
Was so beloved by fans all over the world. Wow. It's like my own little faith monsters or something. And so we did the show. And years later, I wanted to work with him again because he's my homie. And so I called him and we went to lunch and a 4-hour lunch turned into coming up with the idea for Dollhouse.
So in one lunch, you guys came up with the concept for Dollhouse.
Some people know the story. He literally went to the bathroom and when he came back, he was like, it'll be called Dollhouse. So
what did he do in there that helped get that going?
And we were also at, like, he had picked this fancy schmancy restaurant in L.A., the Ivy by the Shore.
Oh, yes.
And we wondered what show would have come out of our lunch had we been at, like, a Wendy's or a Burger King. So I'm glad Joss kept it fancy.
So then how did you get Tomo involved? Did you just audition for it?
We begged.
Yeah, right. Far from begging. I got the call, though. That was flattering enough. My manager called me up and he said, Joss Whedon wants to talk to you about a project. And I was like, really? Well, why hasn't he called? Have you given him my number? What's going on? And yeah, so Joss called me and we had a great conversation. And we talked for like 45 minutes. And he talked at length about the premise for the show. And it sounded amazing because as you all know, the premise was so unique. Nothing had been done like that in television. And the way he described Paul and Eliza's character and their relationship and the course the show was going to take possibly, over the first season it was so interesting. And I was so flattered that he was, calling and asking me to be a part of it. And when he first started telling me, too, I immediately thought of a book that I recently read in the last year called Never Let Me Go. Has anybody? Excellent book, right? Did anybody see the movie?
Yeah.
Really quite good. I mean, oftentimes adaptations aren't very good, but it was excellent. Anyway, I remember mentioning the book. I was like, it kind of reminds me of this book I read. And Joss was like, that is so strange. He goes, I read that book too. He goes, yeah, I think I stole some ideas from that, didn't I? And I'm like, hey, I won't tell if you don't tell.
And the lawsuits begin now.
Exactly.
Thanks, Tomo.
Now that I've just ratted out Joss, hey, he's not my boss anymore. I can rat him out. No, And then after that, I ended up having a test. This lovely lady flew all the way back from Peru.
I think I was in Peru. Yeah.
She was in Peru. She's always somewhere all over the world. And she flew all the way back, and then we read together. And I found out a few days later that I had the job. So, yeah, it was great. That's how
stoked.
I got it.
Lucky to have you. It was awesome.
And I don't know if you guys know what the testing process in television is. You go into a room full of angry, soulless executives who are tied together with strings of hatred. And you basically have to perform. Like, you have to be as real as you can be in this really artificial environment. So what was your testing process?
No pressure. This is the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly. You get one shot. If you screw this up, it's over.
Yeah, you know what? Luckily, this wasn't one of those situations. Mm-hmm. Joss was kind enough to, like, take me into one of the studios of Fox, the two of us. I think we had a cameraman. There was like four of us. Mm-hmm. Everyone was around, but I think Joss had actually instructed them. Maybe it's because he felt how nervous I was or something, but he had like told people to hide. They weren't allowed to be around. There was all the casting. All the casting people were there. They were like hiding behind the bleachers and stuff. Every once you'd hear like a cough or a sniffle or see little eyes peek out or what have you. But it was basically just the three of us. And it made it a lot easier for me.
Joss is very actor friendly like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he is.
He knows the drill and he wants to keep it. Yeah, make people comfortable, and it's rare, but it's nice.
And so I assume that's what it's like to work with him on a day-to-day basis as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's one of the best, and I mean, I think you see, he's known for discovering people that don't necessarily have a huge career, pre him, and it's amazing that he can really tap into people and get them to, just pull out these incredible performances from people that are relatively new in the business. And it's because of that, what we're talking about, that that intimidation factor isn't there. He's so comfortable. He's so self-deprecating and funny and weird and adorable.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier to work with. Yeah, because he is like that. Like Liza can tell you a million one stories. She's obviously worked with him for years, but he can be very serious because he knows what he's going to do as a director and a writer and executive producer. He has a vision. He works at a quick pace also, but when he needs to, he's the weirdest little goofy man you've ever seen. He's incredibly witty and funny, but he'll throw into this weird little dance. Maybe you can try and convince Eliza to do the dance. I don't do it justice. It's the strangest thing you've ever seen, but you laugh your ass off if you see it. And he'll pull it out at the weirdest times, too. You'd be like, really, Joss? Are you dancing?
It's kind of like the Elaine from Seinfeld meets like a chicken knee knocking. It's bizarre.
I think that is the first time anything's ever been described as Elaine from Seinfeld meets a chicken.
Joss, it's quite accurate.
I'm sure you guys know, like, Joss is the real deal. Like, he is the real deal, hardcore nerd. I lived across the street from him for a while.
You did?
And we would just kind of, every once in a while, I'd come home and he'd be coming home at the same time, and we would just shout Python references across our driveways, like, hey, Joss, knee, knee, knee. And he would shout back, and I'm like, that is a guy I want to marry. Like, I want to marry that guy. I totally want to marry that guy. Well, you were already a child actress. You had done some stuff, like A True Lies, I know.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And so, but then you, thanks. Did you take some time off and went to school and all that stuff?
I was going to. I was about to take time off. Well, I took time off to go to high school a little bit, and then I was enrolled at, my mother's a professor, and I was enrolled at her university, and I was 17 and graduated high school, and I was about to go into school. I had my dorm picked out, and I got asked to do a few Buffy shows, so I thought I'd make some money for school and came out to do a few shows, and then, you know, it was like, Buffy or college?
Yeah.
And I stuck with Buffy and figured I could go to college later.
Well, and it was so perfect because, you know, your character... Who I'm surprised, like, it seems like, oh, that character probably should have been there from day one, like, just to have that perfect dark counterbalance to Buffy. I asked Twitter for some questions, and this lady...
Please don't ask them all.
The what?
Censor them a little bit.
Yeah, listen, I just have
a few Twitter questions,
200,000 or 300,000 questions to get through. This one is at Selsin asks, this is a lady, when you played Faith... I'm just doing a voice that I think might be hers. Hey, everybody. My name is Ed Selsin. When you played Faith, did you play up the sexual tension with Buffy on purpose, or did you just have great chemistry with Sarah?
I think there are just some things that are there. It was just happening.
Nice.
I didn't mean to lick my lips after that.
That was an involuntary lip licking. I just mentioned her name.
Did you make a? I haven't heard you make that sound. What was that?
I don't know.
No, it's funny. Actually, Sarah, I had known Sarah. We had the same manager from when we were both like 10 years old. My manager found me on my first movie when I was 10, and she represented myself and Sarah and Brittany Murphy. And so we had known each other for a while. So that was sort of how I got to come on the show. I didn't know much about the show before I was on it. And so, you know, we were just sort of these opposites, and I blazed in, and we did it.
Now, did you do all your own stunts? There were a lot of high kicks in that show. There were a lot of high kicks.
I like the stunts. I mean, I'm a very physical young woman, and I grew up with three brothers, and I always sort of enjoyed...
The knowing nod from Tom.
I'm just saying. She kicked my ass a few times in the show.
A few times. And I broke my finger, and it wasn't fighting. But yeah, I enjoy jumping in. And I remember watching some of the first, like one of my first episodes, and every time I saw the stunt woman, I would get really pissed off. So I wanted to be in it and not have, you know, the cutaways of like, wig flying me.
Yeah.
So
you just see some like husky chick or a dude with a wig.
Don't get
background.
Me wrong. We had some badass stunt people that actually came back and worked with us on Dollhouse, and that I've requested at various points in my career because they're awesome. And there's some stuff that I just can't do, but I do like to do as much as I can, as much as the studio will allow.
Right.
Yes.
Because they don't want you to get hurt.
Right.
Now, Tomo, for instance, is a Muay Thai kickboxer. Is that not correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a passion of mine. I do it as much as I can. I've recently actually been training again. Unfortunately, in the business, oftentimes when you're working, you can't really, you just can't do it consistently.
Yeah, but
I have been doing it again.
If you want, like,
that scene with you in the pilot though was so hot.
Yeah, it was cool.
Remember the
cool.
with the fighting and the great. Dude with the tattoos yeah. and you were gnarls. That was dope.
Thank you. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I starved myself for about 2 weeks for that scene. No, that scene originally was written. I remember when I got it, the first episode, Joss wrote it as a boxing scene. Joss, being a big Battlestar Galactica fan, he'd seen and heard that I could box. He loved the boxing episode in Battlestar. So he originally had it written that way. And I went in the office and I was like, knock, knock, knock. You know, it's the first episode. I don't want to bother Joss. He's being creative and brilliant. At the time, I think he was like twirling a pen, walking around his office. Active thought. I was like, Joss, listen, I've been doing this martial art for a number of years. Very passionate about it. It's called Muay Thai. He's like, can I have some pad thai with that?
And then you kicked him in the throat.
Yeah. And then jumping knee to his head. Pretty much, I convinced Joss to change. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but as long as you can do it, let's do it. He said, the problem is, he goes, I can't tell you how many actors have told me they can do something like ride a horse mm-hmm. or a motorbike or what have you. And he goes, we go to the day of shooting, and oftentimes they cannot do this. He goes, mm-hmm. I hope that's not the situation. I go, I promise you it's not the situation. So, excuse me. I got to end up helping to choreograph the entire fight scene. I got to beat up a 245-pound Samoan who normally would have squished my head. And I had a ton of fun.
That well, awesome. That's another thing about Jay Bird, as I lovingly call him, is that he...
And we will all do that too now.
Jay Bird.
You're going to shout out across the street when you see him go home.
Jay Bird! Poison dart.
I have a lot of nicknames for that boy. But he's like that. I mean, he likes to take inspiration from the people. And when we sat down for our meeting, it was like we sort of had a promise that I would keep him abreast of all of my adventures and things so that we could sort of write them into the story. And you know, the second episode had the, what was the second episode called? what was it? The crossbow hunting.
There's 2,000 nerds here. Someone must know the name of the second episode.
What was it? Target. Thank you.
There you go.
The Target episode.
Appropriate name.
10 points for Gryffindor.
Good one. I was elk hunting in Colorado. Sorry to the vegetarians out there, but I eat what I kill. I think that's the best way if you're going to eat meat, you know.
It's so hard to get quality elk steaks.
Hey.
You got to go out and kill it.
It's the ones that Trader Joe's aren't what they used to be,
right? Good. Yeah,
economical.
They're just not good. They're frozen. You were elk hunting?
I was elk hunting in Colorado, and it was like literally we sent each other crossing emails. I was emailing him my story about the elk I'd taken down, and he was emailing me the story for like the one sheet and like the entire dollhouse plan. And he wrote, we literally sent the email in the same moment. We had met 2 weeks before. That was kind of weird and cool and serendipitous. And so he was like, yeah, that'll be the second episode. So he takes things from your life.
That is amazing. Did you use a gun or did you kick the elk in the face?
I am a skilled bow hunter, but we did use a gun.
That is 9 kinds of awesome. I had no idea.
And 4 people again.
Yeah, but still, I think that's...
Didn't they have you on a talk show and you actually pulled out the bow?
Oh, yeah. I think it was on Jimmy Kimmel.
She was on Kimmel showing that thing off.
Jimmy Kimmel. No. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we love Jimmy Kimmel. Let's cut it out.
So,
salt and pepper on him.
What was the experience like from a producer standpoint? I mean, you know, because you're used to acting on shows and just being a performer. How did your perception of show business change when you actually had to be a producer on a show?
I really loved it. And that's, you know, it was such a great opportunity to have that come to be, because now that's what I'm doing more now. And I, you know, like you mentioned, I was a child actor and 20 years, I just turned 30, 20 years I've been in this business. And so just to transition into being on the other side and being more of the storyteller and being a producer of the stories you want to tell, it's just, it, it adds that much more of a personal investment in what you're doing. And so definitely on Dollhouse, it was like he said from the beginning, you know, this isn't just going to be a cute little title to put on the front of the show, Liza Dishku producer. I want you to get in it, and I want you to be involved in more ways than just an actor. And it was just, it was rewarding. It was hard, but it was rewarding.
If Tomo gave you shit anytime, or you'd be like, shut up or you're fired.
You're fired. Yeah.
You're way I fired. Didn't even try.
No.
Even
I
if she
actually,
wasn't the producer, I don't want to mess with Eliza, man.
Yeah. No, and I made a point to never be that girl that was like, well, you know, I don't think I ever at one point, you know, threw my P word around.
excuse me?
It was just sort of, you know.
Gotcha. Tomo, you, as you mentioned before, were also on a program called Battlestar Galactica, which was awesome.
Yes, sir.
Father of a Cylon, baby. How did you get involved in BSG, as the kids call it?
You know what? The same way as always. I went in for an audition. I didn't read the script. I heard about this new miniseries, Battlestar Galactica. I got the sides for Hilo. And this isn't really a spoiler alert, but it was the scene on the planet where I basically give up my seat, and I've got the dialogue we're sharing. You guys are going to have to excuse me. I'm sniffling the whole time here. This AC's getting to me, and I've got, like, I need a snot rag is what
go
I
on,
need.
Go on.
We did a lot of cocaine backstage to get up for this. I am flying
I was doing
right
bumps.
Now.
Just came from L.A. This is what we do. I've been up for a couple days. I hope you guys don't mind.
Yeah.
You can't tell, though, right? Oh, okay.
And the front again is like, yeah.
Bumps, I love them. All right, so back to Battlestar.
I just want to punch them. I just want to punch an elk. I don't know.
Yeah. I went in there and I told the producers, just give me the job, okay? I'm the guy for the job.
I think he's going to kill us.
Yeah. So anyway, I had an audition. I went in. There's this guy named Michael Reimer. He was the key director. I had the audition with him. It was a great audition. I felt really good about it. And then I didn't hear anything for a week. And I'm like, well, I guess I didn't get that job. I think it was 8 or 9 days later I got the call, and I was told that I got the job. So that was it.
That's pretty great. You grew up in Canada. I was reading online. Your father, one Canada supporter, apparently.
We have one Canadian lover over there. I love it.
Your father was the premier of the Yukon.
Was the premier of the Yukon. Yes, it's a very prestigious title.
You didn't know that? What does a premier do in the westernmost territory?
I think it's just like a governor, except you know the Yukon is a vast territory. It's very large. If you've ever looked at the map, the part of the you know the country that Alaska is attached to, that's all the Yukon. So that's where I grew up. There's only 32,000 of us though. There's not many of us.
So how do you...
he did a lot. But there's only 32,000.
Were you your community theater? Like, how do you? Tomo,
yes, there were
Tomo
five
Theater
of us.
Presents Tomo in Tomo's life.
Yeah, exactly. I've been joking for a while now since I haven't worked in a year. No, I have. But I've always got this ongoing joke with my my dad and my agent. I'm like, well, you know, I can always go back to Whitehorse and do a community theater, which is where I made my start. So I'm doing okay. For a little boy from the Yukon. You know, it's a very artistic community. A lot of people don't realize that. Small northern communities, specifically, you know, Whitehorse in the Yukon that I grew up in. A lot of arts, a lot of music, a lot of acting, a lot of theater. And a lot of drinking. And fighting and partying. But music, art, and theater and culture also. It's a really nice mix.
And you have, like, an adorable, delicious, like, house out in the...
I've got a cottage. Yeah, I've got a cottage. You guys aren't allowed to come unless I invite you. But I'll tell you generally where it is. Does anyone know where Whistler, BC is?
Yeah.
North of Vancouver, one of the best ski hills in the world. So it's just north of that. So I spend a lot of time up there.
I'd be working like 18-hour days for 2 weeks, and Tomo would like roll in with pictures on his iPhone and be like, I was just in my lovely cabin on a stream in the mountains, and I was just relaxing and hanging with friends, and there were all these pictures. I was like, that's awesome, you jerk.
Me with a tan, big hair, rolling some flip-flops and like no shirt on. She's like, what are you
just
doing?
Some R&R, man.
She's like, Josh, should we fire this guy or maybe make him work some more?
So people should start lining up if you want to start getting some questions out there. Just line up at the two microphones.
I'm still invited, right?
You're always invited.
Cool. Now,
Tomo, Eliza, your relationship, your character's relationships between Echo and Ballard on Dollhouse, your relationship was interesting. Mm-hmm. What is this guy doing?
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's so
I didn't know
sweet.
If I was going to be.
Don't touch those, they're poison!
You saved me.
I'm going to make sure this is okay.
Yeah. My first Test thought was that's so sweet. Awesome security in this joint, though, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when the moderator is your... that's really what it is. I'm a doll. I was programmed to save you.
Thank you for this. I was about to punch you in the head. I didn't know what you were doing, but...
Oh, my God, that poor guy.
That scared me for a second. There you are. I just heard big feet running towards me.
I know.
Yeah, you don't run up on a kickboxer. Also, excellent security. Excellent security. Yeah, No one on the sides. Let's talk a little bit about the relationship that your characters had and sort of how it evolved.
Eliza?
He lives inside me now.
Ah.
At the end... Oh, God.
We're living happily ever after now.
At the end of the show, you know, we had this... Talk about our relationship, Tomo.
Yeah, you see how she passed that off? I try to give it to her, and she's like, Tomo, well, I mean, it was tumultuous
tricky,
at times,
tricky.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think one thing I'd like to say about the I'm very proud of Battlestar. I'm proud of Battlestar, I am, and Dollhouse.
Other show,
but
other
I think
show.
Originally when Joss described the ideas and the arc that he was going to have in the first season, that our relationship was going to have, it would have taken a very different direction. Who saw the original pilot? What'd you guys think of it? It's amazing, right? I was a big, big fan of it. And things would have happened so differently. And it was really quite confusing when we started off because we were block shooting four different episodes. So I kept on having to remind myself, okay, so I don't know. I've met her. No, I haven't met her. Who have I met? Like, we were constantly being reminded. Joss would have to put notes on the scripts. It was a little confusing in the beginning. Our relationship, I think, was still finding its feet in some ways in that first season. We eventually, I kind of felt halfway through, it was more clear. And even as an actor, me personally, I started to feel, okay, I know my character a little bit more. I feel more confident where the direction that they're going to take us, it seemed to be more clear. Whereas, you know, at first it was struggling. And naturally so. You know, we had to cannibalize the original pilot and sort of mix it into the first three episodes, mm-hmm. which was difficult. You know, we didn't start off that well. I think we did with the original pilot, but then when, you know, we redid the pilot.
Yeah, it took you a minute to find me, damn it.
Yeah, it did. It's like, I remember reading posts. It's like, is this guy an idiot? Like, I mean, she's right there. When is he going to find her?
The dollhouse is real. That was a good one. I still say that sometimes.
The dollhouse is real.
Paul.
Well, I think what's so great and what's great about what you guys did, and certainly I think one of the attributes that Joss has as a creator is that you know, the characters aren't as black and white as characters in a lot of shows, and it was kind of fun to watch the character of Ballard just kind of slowly descend into this obsessive kind of thing over Echo.
I think I think the biggest turn for the fans. I mean, anybody who watched the show was like Paul being brought in to the dollhouse and actually working for the dollhouse. That was a huge switch. I mean, it was a great way to wrap up the first season, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have some people standing at microphones. Let's start on this side. What is your name, sir?
Name's Coffrey.
We can't hear you very well, Mitch.
Joffrey?
I get that a lot. My name's Coffrey.
Oh, Coffrey.
Hi, Coffrey.
Spoke to you earlier.
I love your name. Egyptian,
you.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great name.
Two
He's
things.
A boxer too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Bring it on.
Oh, this is your Q&A. So, what advice do you have for a guy who wants to be named Coffrey?
Drink a lot of milk.
All right.
Two things. Eliza, you're truly an original badass. Love you, dude.
Thanks, homie.
Tomo,
yes,
quick
sir.
Question. Knowing your career with Muay Thai and kickboxing, I wanted to know how it felt to get your ass kicked by Echo, Caroline, and probably most likely Faith. How did that feel, buddy? What did that do to your ego?
Good thing we have these tissues on hand.
Well, listen, it's okay, buddy.
I get a little emotional when I talk about it. But
I loved it, to be honest with you. It was awesome.
You.
I got my ass kicked by Eliza. It was so cool every time. It really was fun. I'll tell you this.
Even when I was like wearing a dress. Yeah.
Yeah. That was he always had to look so good. They'd have her in heels. She'd be like throwing kicks and crazy. You know what amazed me about Eliza is because already hard challenge. Eliza, we need you to play 5 different characters this episode. 3 different accents. You're going to have to learn to speak Spanish and Russian. And then we've got a small fight sequence that you're going to have to learn in 10 minutes and do with Tom O'Pennigan. And she would do it all. She would get it done. And she would show up in the day and amaze me. Serious professional here. She always showed up.
I kind of asked for it. It was a little late in the game.
You did, though.
To be
that's
like,
the
yeah,
thing.
I'm not really feeling like doing this right
that's
now.
That's dumb, Joss.
Yeah,
Joss, I can do everything and anything. Yeah, and he made you do it, didn't he? Yeah, he put you through the ringer. You worked your ass off. It was great, man. The fight scenes, as she said, our stunt people were awesome on the show. We did a lot of our
Mike
own stuff.
Mike Massa represent. Yeah.
They're so talented. They were all like, you know, ex-karate champions, kickboxing champions, taekwondo champions. Very, very talented.
And Mike Massa had it in for me from the Angel days where I used to kick his ass because he doubled David Boreanaz. So he wanted to.
And Massa being the yeah. head stunt coordinator, who is an amazing guy. Such a cool cat. Always a joy to work with. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tama, you touched on something that this was sort of related to a Twitter question that we got. At Dan Harcourt says, Eliza, what was harder? That's how I envision his voice. I don't know why. I'm sorry. Hey, Eliza, what was harder, playing a doll or doing all of the character stuff after they programmed you?
Playing a doll, I'd say, because it was so, like, we kept trying to find that doll, too, because it was that blank slate, like, mm-hmm. how do you keep a blank slate interesting? And how do you... you know, I'm very expressive, and I, like, gesticulate a lot and bop my head around. And he was like, yeah, don't do any of that. So we were always trying to find a way for me to kind of be glassy-eyed girl and also keep it interesting. So the doll was more difficult, I'd say.
Cool.
Because personalities, too. I'm multiple personalities a little bit as is, so that was more up my alley.
Yeah, just all of the, like... Don't blink, like everyone, yeah. just the smiles.
I like broccoli. Yeah.
That was one of the best lines ever. I like broccoli.
Sir, what is your name?
Alvin.
Hi, Alvin.
Hello.
Alvin.
Yeah. Hello, Eliza.
Hi.
Hello, Tamo. First, I would like to say it's such a terrible loss that last year, 2010, Dollhouse got canceled by Fox before its time.
Well, thanks for reminding us.
And also, the year before that, 2009, another great show, Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles, was canceled by Fox as well. Mm-hmm. And after TSCC, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Summer Glau, she made 4 appearances on Dollhouse as
yes.
Bennett Halverson.
Yes.
She was awesome.
Woo!
She was so good.
And my question for both of you is, did you or Summer and Joss ever had a conversation or thought that Dollhouse was going to get canceled way too soon, just like Terminator?
Yeah. Fox and Joss, and just look at the history a little. We hoped that it was going to be a new day, and but, you know, you can't. Honestly, I mean, yes, it's obviously a bummer that we didn't get to go on, but we were really, really thrilled that this show got to have a life at all and got to get out the box and got to make it out there for all you fine people to enjoy. And so, I mean, we can't, I just don't look back going like, damn it, you know, assholes, because we got to do it to that, you know, and for those 2 seasons, and we got
season.
To finish it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so actually, you know, was, and let's be honest, like, you guys rock, but not everybody else came to the party on those Friday nights, and it's a business, and you got to be realistic. And so, you know, it is what it is.
But at least it must feel okay that you feel like the show had, at least story-wise, you feel like maybe you had a little bit of resolution, unlike something like Deadwood, where it just like,
oh, yeah.
oh well, it
they
kind of
pull the
doesn't
plug,
really end.
And it's like, don't come back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean,
exactly.
like True Calling, another show I did. And
woo!
Thank you. with Zach Galifianakis.
Yes.
Blowing up the spot.
Seriously,
right now.
Zach
is all over the
place. I saw a dude.
Dressed like him.
Yeah, I've known Zach since the 90s, and it's weird to see a dude walking around Comic-Con with that baby on the front and the glasses. I'm like, oh my God, this is weird.
Yeah, he did a good Zach, too, that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that they let us know that it was going to be canceled, but then they let us finish out the season, I mean, that was a big deal, and very, we're appreciative of that.
Definitely.
It's closure. Closure for us all.
There was a lot of days there, first season and second season, where it was a little too quiet on set. Mm-hmm. We'd come in, do the blocking, I'm in the trailer, take a little nap, I'm waiting to get started, it's like 5 a.m., and wake up an hour and 20 minutes later and panic, like, oh my God, what's going on? Why haven't they come to get me yet? We should be shooting. Open the door, like, peek out, and there's no one out there, and I'm like, oh God, we got canceled.
And no one told you.
And they forgot to tell me.
Yep.
Honestly, like when I didn't see anybody, there was a couple times where I was like, oh God, that's it. It's over.
We didn't think we were going to come back for a second season, let's be honest.
I mean,
that was a surprise and a gift. So,
absolutely.
That's cool. Does that answer your question, Alvin?
Yes. Thank you.
Excellent. And now I'm going to call TSCC, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, from now on. Sir, what is your name?
Raphael.
Raphael, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks.
I have a comment for Tom. I agree with you. I would love to get my ass kicked by Eliza, too.
Right.
And on to the question. This is for Eliza. You said you were mostly used to performing, doing your thing on Faith. And then when you went to Dollhouse, you had to step it up. Not only were you performing, you had to produce, too. Obviously, you learned a lot. And what did you learn on what it takes to be a producer?
It's funny because the word producer in Hollywood is one of those words that people are always sort of like, what does that mean? And there's no real definition in a way. I mean, it's a producer is somebody that gets the story told, whatever it takes. And so just as far as like being involved in conversations with Joss, being, again, kept in the loop as to like where the story was going and just different aspects of crew and things that I didn't really know about before as an actress, when you're talking, I learned so much and was brought into the world of the actual operation of producing a TV show as opposed to just looking pretty and showing up, So it was, definitely they were good to me. I mean, I've been producing a film now that we should be shooting this year, but I've been producing this film for 8 years, and the last four have been where it's really gained some momentum. But, you hear that, I'm doing a biopic on Robert Mapplethorpe, and, I would hear Salma Hayek talk about how it took 9 years to get Freedom Made. I'm like, that's crazy, because as actors, you show up and it's ready to go. You're ready to shoot. But there are just so many different elements. There is so much, that people just don't see that goes into making something come to be. So as far as, what I did, it was a lot of learning and a lot of just being brought into conversations and asked my opinions and my insights and my perspective on where the show went and how we got there. And day to day also, I think just trying to be a leader and trying to be, again, not just showing up with my myself in mind, but thinking of this as like, this is my family and these are my workers, and we are going to work to make this happen in a different, shift mentally as far as how to get it done. And making sacrifices that maybe I wouldn't have made if it weren't my baby.
I love hearing you talk about your P word. I mean, producer. Is that sufficiently answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I didn't realize there were four microphones, and so there are people on the wings that...
Oh my gosh, you're so mean.
I'm so sorry. I'm really so sorry. I was looking like, Jesus Christ. Oh, I didn't realize there was a big screen behind us. What is your name, sir?
John is my name.
John, you got a good voice.
Thank you. Hypothetical question to both of you. If Joss called you tomorrow and asked you to be in the Avengers, which role would you want?
Oh.
I mean, I live in the reality, bro. So it's not going to happen. And so I just choose not to play in that park.
Let's turn it around on you.
Oh, snap. You didn't see that shit coming.
What roles do you think we'd be appropriate for?
Oh, crap.
Because I don't think Josh is going to call.
Tough question.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
If Eliza would be perfect to playing Hulk's love interest if Liv Tyler didn't return the same way Edward Norton didn't, mm-hmm. I think you would be also perfect if you wanted to play the Wasp. I think that would be a good choice.
Word.
For you, I think, there's so many to choose from. You could do Hank Pym. You could do...
Who?
Ant-Man. He's only known in the Avengers. Don't worry. I'm nerdy enough just knowing that.
I know. It's been a while for me in the Avengers, so I'm not familiar with Hank Pym and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm psyched for that movie, though. I'm so excited for Joss and for everybody involved. And it's obviously been a question. Or was I gonna pop into that? And we had just spent. We like to space out our times working together, and it just sort of we had just finished this, and that was his thing. He was taking off to do.
Excellent. I think this side over here has been neglected. What is your name?
I'm Amanda, and my question was to Eliza. Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Awesome.
I like your costume.
You oh, thank you.
You are wearing... Okay, good.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm not wearing awesome, right? A costume.
But, yeah, so I was wondering if there was a particular doll implant that you had trouble with or one that you liked to portray more than the others.
Implant or imprint?
Imprint.
Okay. What are you trying to say? It's all me, girl. I enjoyed, oh my gosh, there were so many. And there were some that I didn't think I would enjoy, and then I really did. I loved...
Bell shows? Bell shows?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You were hilarious. You were brilliant in that episode. That was one of the funniest, best episodes we did.
Thank you. Yeah, sure. That was fun.
Also, you got a nice singing voice.
Oh, my God.
That's what I learned.
She's a singer.
Thank you. I never claimed to, by the way, just for the record. That was always Joss, like, hearing me, singing at people on stage and on, like, the set. And he kind of made me do that. There were a lot. I enjoyed, like, the Target episode because it was so amazing to be, whenever we got to sort of leave the dollhouse and go out on these crazy adventures. And that was sort of what I loved about the show was like that we shot in the Angeles National Forest and we were like river rafting. And I mean, you get paid to just show up and do cool stuff. And I also enjoyed the Margaret episode. What was that? I have a bad long-term memory, but where I got to work, with Olivia, and we were peers in that episode, and Joss put
stuff.
Me in an updo, and that was uncomfortable, but we made it through, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, but you shouldn't feel bad about not remembering stuff, because you have a different perspective on this than people who watch the show. I mean, like, you're working 15 hours a day, and you're just trying to bang through stuff in a short amount of time, so a lot of it must feel like kind of a blur.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you do, like, I'm sure Eliza can say the same thing about Buffy, but... When you do an episodic for a lot of years, it becomes, you kind of remember seasons, not episodes so much.
Yeah.
You're shooting hours and hours. You know, you're doing 22, 24 episodes a year. I had that with Battlestar a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember the specific episodes. But
I'm sure
but
people
I loved
come up
playing
to
Echo when she was starting to get a sense of herself, for sure. Because once Echo had really become like a sum of all her parts, and she had access to all the different personalities, and she wasn't Caroline anymore, thank God. Sorry. I was like, really, Joss? This is the girl that we're trying to get her back to? No. But she was just kind of, but once she was Echo and she was coming into herself, I mean, that I felt like was really the beginning of where we had sort of started with what we wanted the show to be, which was like, who am I really? And all of these different people that everyone wants me to be, no mystery that there's a little Hollywood actor question in there. Who am I really, and who, just the strength that it takes to be you and not be sort of like subjugated by the other people in the world and around you. I mean, I loved that character, and we got to play with that a lot also one in the final episode where, you know, I loved that scene in the truck where there was just all of the colors of her were there, and she was really a complete person with all of these effed up people and things that had happened to her, and but she had a sense of humor, and she had, you know, she was just very just extraordinary at that point, I think. So it was fun to play.
And then excellent. I just had a quick thing for Tamahu. I was wondering if, I'm sorry, I probably pronounced your name wrong, but I was worried that in the finale you would be the one who Joss would axe because he always kills someone. Did you have that fear, or was that just my irrational?
Well, I knew the show was going to end, so.
Well, no. I mean, Joss kills your favorite character, and I always thought it'd be Paul.
Oh, yeah. I don't know whether to thank you for that or not. I remember when Jed Whedon came and knocked on my trailer door very quietly. It was so soft. It was cute. I was just hanging out, and then I heard tick, 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 tick. What is that sound? It was tick, 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 tick. Somebody at the door, and I opened it, and he was like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, what's up, buddy? Why are you acting so weird? And he's like, I just wanted to talk to you about the last episode. I was like, oh, God. I knew right away. I'm like, get in here.
You're dead.
Yeah. I'm like, you're killing me, aren't you? Yeah.
No one is safe in their world, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It could have been anyone.
So did I see it coming?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. You know, the fact is, like Eliza was saying before, I'm just really happy we got it. We got to finish it. We got all 13 done. You imagine how horrible it would have been for the fans and for us too as the actors. You get so invested in the show, and when you're questioning, you know, whether the show is going to survive or not day to day, which it was like for us many, many different times working on that show, you know, to finally know, okay, listen, I know when we found out, when Joss came and made the announcement on set, he's like, so I have some bad news. We're going to be canceled, but we're going to be able to finish. It was bittersweet. It really was. It was like, for me, I had so much fun from that point on because you don't have the worry of we're going to be canceled tomorrow, I might not see this through, what have you. We could actually see it through. So ultimately, I was just happy that we got that done. You know?
And it's not like when he died, he didn't get to go somewhere awesome.
I'm in her head. We're in there. We're having a party.
So you still got paid for that episode. You're like, well, technically, I'm alive in her head. So
I'm on my money, man. I'm in there.
Man, Joss really knows how to end a show. Like, he will, like you said, he'll kill the main characters. He will blow up the whole friggin' town. Like, he just knows how to end a show where you're like, damn, like there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
But thank you for your question.
Thank you.
What is your name, sir?
Jason.
Jason, what is your question? get up on that mic, Jason.
I love the show. One of the things I noticed in some of the criticisms that Whedon fans had, that I think it seemed like, unlike, you know, Buffy and Angel and Firefly, which started out pretty early on with a group that you knew was sort of like the Scooby Gang, the home base, but Dollhouse didn't have that initially. It was all these individual journeys, and people didn't know what to connect to and all that. But you eventually got there with you know, getting a group together like that.
Yeah, we had a little Scooby Gang.
Yeah. Did you have a sense early on that was going to be your goal to get there? Was this going to be a longer journey? Or is that something that you guys decided to shift into midstream?
I mean, I think from the beginning it was clear the players that he was setting up based on who were regulars and who were in the title cards in the beginning. I mean, it was definitely... we were already kind of a posse, I feel like, when we came in. I mean, maybe I don't understand what you're referring to.
Well, that people didn't know who to root for. There was no group initially that they were all on the same side. They were all kind of fighting their individual things, and eventually they got together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the people that were presented early on, even Paul, you know, he's supposed to be the hero, but it gets kind of icky with, you know, the other dolls and stuff. Well, you know.
I think that's part of a master plan to keep people coming back and watching and seeing who goes where and who goes, yeah.
You know what? I kind of hear what you're saying for sure. But, you know, going back to that one point, I think it, in some ways, just in the beginning, we were not to say we, because I wasn't writing the episodes, but I was privy to some of it. You know, when I talked to Joss and Eliza, and they'd share with me what was going on. But, you know, the blueprint got changed and was changing daily. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, our relationship specifically was supposed to be sort of fleshed out and closer quite sooner. We were supposed to be going on a specific journey together. There was a different direction planned. So, you know, that's episodic. That happens. I watched that happen in Battlestar, too. It's such a collaborative process. What we're bringing as the actors to the performance often changes the direction of a show completely. You'll see a relationship between two actors, a potential between two characters that you never saw before, a new storyline that you have to write for. And I think just in the beginning, there was a little bit of that happening. And so, you know, I heard some of the criticism in the beginning, but, you know, I like to think that we really found our feet about halfway through. It became really clear. And I think ultimately where we came in second season with all of us as a team, it was kick ass, man.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. Like,
and I mean, I think what you were speaking to earlier, yeah, about that's just Joss, you know, and the other writers, that's sort of their style, which I always have really loved, is that, you know, that it's not just black and white and you don't really know who's bad, who's good, what's the gray area in between, and just that, you know, as soon as you start to love someone, he kills someone, or it's always kind of keeping people, you know, mystified and not knowing who's good, who's bad. You know, like, I loved that about the show, is that some weeks Adele could be doing the most despicable, you know, evil things, and then the next episode you're weeping for her, not unlike Faith. You know, I mean, God, I did some busted shit as Faith. I was killing people at a Pam can with a lighter. I mean, I was like torturing babies on that show, and then everyone was like, "We love you, girl. You're amazing. Like, don't die." I mean, that's the beauty of how he rolls.
Cool.
I was not torturing babies. Maybe that's fun.
No, that baby was an asshole, and he was asking for it. Thank you for your question. We have time for one more question.
Who has the best question?
I think that is this young lady right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's sitting up front. What is your name?
Serena.
All right, Serena, what is your question? And it better be awesome.
Okay, I'm going to try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible, but... So what shocked me about Dollhouse was finding out who the founder was. And did you...
The show's been out for a while. Okay. I don't think there's spoiler problems.
I think we're good. Think you come to this panel and be like, God damn, they blew it.
If you
I didn't know.
If you're here and you haven't seen it yet, then prepare to be... Yeah.
That was
finding
a great
out that Boyd was the founder really shocked me personally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I usually try to come up with ideas about what could be going on, but that one just didn't occur to me. So did you know that from the beginning, or was that something
Hell
that
no.
developed?
And I thought that was really unkind. Joss knew I already had daddy issues, and he really just hosed me with that. Staked me in the heart. Some payback. Yeah, I had no idea.
That was a brilliant twist. When I read that, I was like, awesome. Yeah. It was so good. You never saw that coming.
Great.
Were you guys privy to storylines way in advance, or was it just week to week?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you know, all the decisions that were made on Dollhouse, it had to be run by me first. So,
yep.
The network and Eliza and Joss, you know, they discuss things. They do most of the work, and then they call me, and I'd say yes or no. So,
Tomo, it's Rupert Murdoch.
Exactly. Rupert, I'm gonna have to put you on hold.
Oh, that's fine. I love you. Do 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 do.
Good voice. Oh, I'm sure he'll love that.
I'm sure. Guess who's never going to work for Fox now? Yay!
But I also think, sorry, because I talk a lot, the cool thing about that, too, is that for us, there were times where I didn't necessarily want to know what was going to happen in three shows, because then subconsciously you can even sort of be foreshadowing before it's meant to be and before it's time. And so I like that we don't always know, like, oh, I'm going to be evil and be the mastermind behind this whole thing by the end. And Boyd didn't know it either. And so that once it happened, he, you know, came in at the right time with that like nasty, evil look in his eye.
And Harry's such a good actor, man. He was awesome when he made the twist. It was great to see.
And Patton Oswalt, woo, he's here.
Yeah. Now you punch Patton in the stomach. You guys are pretty evenly matched, so.
You know what? He's lucky that's all I get, man. He was going to get more.
And someone on Twitter had asked about the orgy with Tomo and myself, mm-hmm. and the butter orgy.
Of course they did.
What did they wanted to know? What, that's in the DVD extras, if they want to find that.
Excellent.
Got to get that DVD.
That's one of those good Twitter questions.
The butter orgy.
We did spend time in that van together.
Yes, the van. Patton was awesome. He was so funny to work with.
I love him.
So I think just before we wrap it up.
There's a little girl here who should get to ask a question.
Jesus, is that you?
I shouldn't be talking about butter orgies in front of. Sorry.
Right here. You should.
That could mean anything.
Yeah, one more question from the little girl for sure.
Swearing. I'm so sorry. I thought this was 18 plus.
No.
Hi, little lady.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to hell. Hi. Impressionable, precious little girl.
When you played Faith, what does 5x5 mean?
Good job.
I mean, it means all good, baby. It means everything is 5x5. Everything's cool. Everything's good. What's
it's
that?
A square. 5x5 is a square.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't tell.
Are you doing this for me, homie?
Adorable. All right. So before we wrap it up, stuff you're working on now. Are you talking about the Battlestar movie at all? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. Battlestar movie. I think the movie Battlestar movie that you might be talking about is with some different people.
Mother.
Yes, who originally had the rights to it, and it's going to be totally reimagined if that does happen.
All right, forget all that crap. Forget all that crap.
You did an awesome Mortal Kombat thing with Marissa's brother, right?
Yeah, Kevin Tancheron, really talented. And my buddy Alex and I just finished working on it. That was a ton of fun.
That's dope.
Yes, so watch that. Keep me employed. I need a job.
Eliza, what about? A couple of people on Twitter said that there were Ghostbusters 3 rumors floating around for you. Is that the case?
The internet loves its rumors.
Okay.
No, there's a lot of rumors. There's Ghostbusters 3. There's True Lies 2. There's still a Faith spinoff. I mean, they're all rumors. And until they're not, I guess.
Yeah. So is there any? Is it what are you working on now? That
I mean, I am working and really getting this movie that I'm producing finished. It was difficult to do while we were shooting the show, and the time is now. I mean, mm-hmm. after 8 years, this thing has got to happen.
Yeah.
So there's that. I also, just started a charity organization called Humanitar, which is, I'm Albanian descent, mm-hmm. and Humanitar means humanitarian in Albanian. I'm doing a lot of work with my mother, who I just talked to this morning. She's in Uganda. Whoever's here that contributed to my 30-30-30 birthday campaign, thank you so much. Mama Judy is on the ground in northern Uganda. We're building a center for rehabilitation and reintegration of former child soldiers of war there. And you guys were awesome. That means a lot to us. And also, I mean, really, I know that some of you are like, what's the next thing? But it's really important to me at this point in my career to be discerning about what I bring to you guys. I don't want to bring you crap. So it's not easy to just pick anything. But I want to find the right thing. And God knows I've made a couple bad choices in my career. So I'm trying to keep those to a minimum and really make sure that whatever I bring you next and serve you up is only the best.
Wow. I mean,
if you want to see me, I'll be performing Hamlet
in the Yukon
at the community theater in Whitehorse, Yukon. You can get a plane ticket right now for about $3.45 return. So come see me. I start couple
to a theater full of vampires for 30 days of night in the Yukon. But yes. Thank you guys so much for being here. I mean, honestly, we chat a little bit backstage. You guys are genuinely nice people, and I think that's one of the things that comes through in your performances. And I think that's one of the things that the nerds appreciate about you guys so much. So thank you so much for being here, Tom O'Pennigan, Eliza Dushku. I am Chris Hardwick. Thank you. Have a great rest of the C2E2.
You're awesome.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients. Popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.